think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to Reality TV. I'm Jody, and I'm the sarcastic inner voice in your head as you watch all those shows on TV that you never willingly admit that you watch. Special thanks to all the new listeners. I honestly can't tell you how excited I get when you reach out, send me notes, and tell me that you're watching the same amazing reality TV that I am. I feel like I stumbled upon the best friends I never knew I had. So today I have an Eileen Davidson, like, eclectic mix of shows and updates. I'm going to try and include some timestamps in the show notes from now on so you can zip through to the shows and the people you're interested in. I have some thoughts on Teen Mom, some updates on freaking Audge and Jeremy Roloff. I also have, by request of one of my new besties, I lost my Shaws of Sunset virginity, you guys, and watched the first show of this most recent season. And I also am going to introduce my new weekly segment at the end of the show. Hope you like it, and away we go. Team Mom fans, this segment is for you. Let's talk about our girl Chelsea. Same old with Chelsea. She keeps bringing up Aubrey's dad, Adam. And yes, it's because her life is boring, but it's also because she is claiming she's concerned about him. Now, I'd love to say we're all concerned for Adam, but I don't really think that is accurate. I'm concerned about Aubrey. Chelsea keeps replaying the same questions over and over to Aubrey. It's not healthy, and it's not fair to that kid in the long run. I understand why she's doing it, because she probably needs to give production several cuts of these scenarios, these conversations, so that they can edit and pick and choose, you know, how it's going to go in their storyline. But there's got to be a certain point where all these moms really can't do that with their kids anymore. They're too old to be doing it. They're not 2 and 3 anymore. So we come to the big, you know, climax of these episodes, and it is Chelsea bringing up the big MTV disclaimer with Ryan falling asleep at the wheel. Now, when this originally aired, I don't think there was a single person who watched the episode who was not viscerally affected. It was intense and serious, and it wasn't funny. But what is concerning about it in this episode is the fact that it takes place in Randy's dental office where he's doing freaking Botox. Am I like late to the game? I like to think I kind of keep up on some of this stuff. Did we know Randy, a dentist in South Dakota, is giving people Botox? Girls in their 20s, by the way, in the back of his dentistry office? I'm going to need to put a trademark, copyright, whatever it's called, on this little tidbit of advice. Girls, women, listen up. Never trust a man with a log cabin fetish to smooth your forehead. The other thing we shouldn't trust is Chelsea doing anyone's hair or makeup. Now, we know that she's always had a heavy hand with things, but lately it's a whole different look. Yeah, she's got a whole mess of hair on top of her head that she can barely keep herself balanced. But lately she's been doing this maybe it's like a new mom thing, and it's not a ponytail, it's not a bun, it is very reminiscent of like a Victorian woman updo. Okay, picture it with me now. You know, like those old vintage pictures where the Victorian women, they have like the shirts with the high neckline and the buttons, like maybe one of those cameo brooches, and their hair has this like poof on it, not polygamous poof. It's like a poof all around on all sides, and then there's some sort of gathering on the top, and then it's pushed down. Yeah, that's what she's got going. Maybe she's got some sort of like South Dakotian Victorian sexy like fetish. No, but that wouldn't match up with Cole, because Cole has like an Americana Old Glory fetish. So I don't think that, I don't know. I don't know what is going on, but whatever esthetician facility that she's going to, steer clear of that. So anyway, we end the episode with Aubrey heading out to Grandma Donna's house, and they're all very concerned for Aubrey's sake that Adam's going to be there. I'm concerned that she's at Grandma Donna's, period, because this is the woman and the family that birthed and raised Adam. Now, I'm going to admit that Adam is in a certain category in my mind, and he is one of about five men, and this isn't really limited to men, but it just so far it has been, just happens to be that way, that there's certain people in my life that just seeing their face gives me a physical desire and need to high-five them in the face. This urge started somewhere around, high school, college. I'm going to really date myself here. You can figure out how old I am. The original high-five in the face person was Nick Carter. Like, just seeing his face even to this day, I want to just run up, not say a word, and just bam, high five him in the face. The other person is Adam right now. The other one that I can think of off the top of my head is Mohammed from 90 Day Fiance. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just seeing their face is, you just want to walk up, just bam, high five in the face. Justin Bieber was in there for a little while, but I just don't care about him enough to like have him in there anymore. But as I remember them and as they come to me, I'll fill you in. Okay, so now that you know about my like angry outbursts, angry needs, I'm going to move on to a softer spot in my heart, and that is for Brianna. Now, I got a couple funny messages from people not understanding why I have such a soft spot for Brianna, but I just do. I understand all of your arguments why I shouldn't like give her so much of the benefit of the doubt, but you guys, I just do. And when I saw sweet little Nova at that graduation with her mom, her grandma, her aunt, her dad, Devon, whatever, I can take him or leave him, I don't really care. But she's sobbing, crying. And when Brianna and her mom like signaled to her and they were saying, just take deep breaths, calm down. To me, that was just a sign of, even if she's not currently, she has the potential and the ability to just be a really good parent. If that were me, I would have been probably the parent that'd be like, okay, come here, come sit down, let's calm down. When you're calm, you can go back and participate. But I actually think they did the right thing there, being like, no, you got to tough it out, you're fine, take some deep breaths, calm down. I just thought that was just really awesome. And I was crying, I was getting choked up. And I don't know, maybe I'm hormonal or I'm just have that mom part of me, but I just love them. So I also love Brianna because she suffers from something that I have, and that is not only the hormonal acne, but melasma. And I know it because I've had it. And when you've had it, you can see it and spot it. Anyone else ever had melasma? Or let me know, because it is a bitch. For those of you who don't know what it is, a lot of times it can be like spurred on by pregnancy, but it's not like just solely that. Some people just have it all the time. But basically, you get like these patches of skin a lot of times on your face where when you're out in the sun, it just gets darker. It's just like a darker, light brownish patch. And you can tell that Brianna has it because she's been out in the sun and it's all over. Now, again, I talked about my Jenny Craig karma last week, and karma for me was last two pregnancies I had melasma, and I was blessed to have it on my upper lip. So it was a real, real pretty look to have like a 5 o'clock shadow mustache on top of my lip all the time. And it's great because it stays with you for months and months, sometimes years, until it's fully gone. So again, I talk crap about these people, and this is, you know, you reap what you sow. All right, enough about me. Brianna is talking to Devon, and she asked for a social security number, and got to give the boy credit. He either knew his social security number or knew where to find it, and that is a lot more than I ever thought he was capable of. So pat on the back to Devon. Brittany was like thrilled to hear that, and she's in the kitchen, and she has a towel wrapped over her hair like Miss Cleo, call me now. Remember that? For those of you youngsters out there, Miss Cleo was a, in quotes, psychic on the Psychic Network infomercial. What was that, like in the 90s, you guys? Late 90s? And anyway, I think she went down and she ended up getting like into bankruptcy court or something like that. But anyway, Brittany is all Miss Cleo, and she says, this second one looking like issue and headache. And I was like, God, thank God for Brittany. Like, she is just the heart of that family. Unfortunately, Brittany couldn't be there to just rip Lewis a new one when Brianna goes to her strip mall OBGYN clinic. What was that place, you guys? And the nurse was dressed like a firefighter. Anyone else notice that? It was crazy. So Brianna is there. God, my heart's like going out to her. And all of a sudden, her friend becomes like psychologist meets financial planner. And she is, oh my God, wait, before I forget, speaking of psychologists, Dr. Jen Berman, you know who I'm talking about, like from Family Boot Camp, she favorited a tweet of mine, which, I mean, you guys know, I have like 2 followers. Like, I'm no one. Like, I'm suburban housewife out here. She favorited a tweet, and I was like, oh shit, she is not going to be favoriting my tweets when she hears what I have to say about her like favorite client, Farrah Abraham. Wow. Okay. Anyway, I got distracted. So Brianna's friend is telling Lewis basically like, you better start planning. You better start contributing. Don't be waiting for her to ask you for diapers because you know she's going to need them. And thank God Brianna's got friends like this. And I give that friend a ton of credit when you're talking to a big, dumb ox like Lewis. And thankfully, Brianna's baby was Breach. Maybe that's why I love her. Like, I can relate in very small ways to her. We do not seem similar at all, but I can relate to some of the stuff. One of mine was Breach, and I had to do the whole thing where, like, the doctors turn it, whatever. But thankfully, Brianna's baby flipped, and she wasn't going to have to give birth to a baby Breach, which, again, like, Lewis would have even given a shit because he's not even going to be there. But anyway, thank God for Brianna, and I don't know. It's heartbreaking to watch this girl. Okay, someone who it's not heartbreaking to watch is Kale. Jesus Christ, Kale. Oh, my God. Like, now I know why people call her Garbage Kale. I always was like, wow, that's really harsh. But man, has she had a fall from grace. And boy, has Joe, like, I mean, remember when he was like wannabe rapper and he started dating V and he was the worst? And now Joe is like right up there with Corey for great dads for me. So Joe's bringing up that he wants to have 50-50 custody with Kale. And of course, Kale is pissed simply because she just wants to be pissed. And she's saying to him, well, why are you bringing this up now? I'm 6 months pregnant. Since when is you being pregnant now everyone else's problem? Like, is that just how she gets out of things, being like, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, I have kids. Oh, I have whatever. I don't see how that has anything to do with Joe. Like, why? Because now you're on your third baby daddy and you got stuff going on. Like, Joe's life is supposed to be on hold. I don't get it. And I don't. No, she does not have that soft place in my heart like Brianna has. And Kale is reciting this whole conversation to, was that a producer? Or I think it said friend, but it didn't really look like someone that Kale would be friends with at Isaac's Taekwondo class. And clearly, Isaac can hear what's going on, because how could you not? And there's cameras and booms there. And you just see Isaac look over and he just smiles, that sweet little sensitive kid, like probably just trying to be sweet enough so that his mom will just be quiet. But no. And can we just put a PSA out there now? These girls, Brianna, okay, here's something bad I'm going to say about Brianna. Brianna and Kale, don't get a Brazilian butt lift if you're going to get pregnant again, because all these mommy makeovers, they all end in pregnancy. Like, I swear, every person that's been on TV, I'm getting a mommy makeover, they end up getting pregnant again, and things just start shifting to wrong places. Like, Brianna's hips and butt, I think, like, her butt implants slipped to the side. Did anyone else see that when they showed her from behind? I'm really not trying to be mean. I'm not a super petite girl myself, but it was just not like a natural shape at all. And now Brandy from Real Housewives of Dallas wants to, she got a mommy makeover and now she wants to get pregnant. Like, what the hell's going on? So anyway, Kale looks like shit after her Brazilian butt lift and tummy tuck and boob lift and all that. And that's her karma. That's gonna be like our new thing. Like, that's your karma. So anyway, she looks like shit, and we go back to Joe, who's calling his dad, going, hello, handsome. And Joe starts saying that in Delaware, 50-50 custody is standard. Do any of you live in Delaware? Because where I live, that is not the case at all. Like, my brother's ex-wife, like, bitch is crazy. And she got basically everything she wanted and more. And it definitely was not 50-50. Like, I don't know if that's just a weird state thing or if Joe's lawyer is just trying to have him be optimistic. But I would love if that were the case, because I think the more time Isaac has in a calm household with a dad who clearly loves him and is devoted to him, and he's got a sister over there too. Kale conveniently forgets that Isaac has a sister too. Shall I say, well, he needs to be with his brother. Well, he's got to be with his sister too, Kale. Goes both ways. So go, Joe. I'm team Joe all the way. And I would love if we can see his mom, Janet. Like, can she please just show up more often? Because I love a good Janet scene. So we leave off with Kale going to her very last class at her school. And she's in like a podcasting class herself or something. And she's bringing the kids. Like, I know the one episode she was in a tough spot, but now they're back there again. Like, where is, what are their names? Peach and Bones, or Bone and Quay. God, and I hate myself for even knowing these people's names. Like, why is this part of my life right now? But anyway, she's got the kids there, and the teacher is being like, oh, well, does anybody have a pitch? We have a superstar in our midst right here. Anybody going to pitch? And everyone's like, no, probably because they all know what a garbage person Kale is. And you know that teacher was probably like, well, I am after this, because it's probably a sweeter gig with MTV than sitting in here with, you know, whatever, 20-year-old students and their kids. But anyway, the kids are proud of Kale for graduating after 6 years, and I guess congrats, Kale. I just hope that she, and now with this degree, maybe she has more, oh God, I was going to say more confidence, but I don't think that's her issue. Maybe she has more possibility and smarts to, let me see if I can say this tactfully, stop the revolving door of men and bad choices in her life. Okay, yeah, let's just leave it at that. All right, let's move on to their next couple of girls. All right, you guys, we are back. Now, magic of podcasting, it's actually been a couple hours, and I am damn near the bottom of a vodka tonic. Quick tip, Sam's Club vodka, amazing, with some Diet Schweppes tonic water. It's amazing. Lots of lime. It's basically like drinking water, right? Right? It's diet tonic, so it's basically water. Yeah, it's been a rough afternoon. Quick story. Remember our little saying, there's your karma. Yeah, well, my son was being a little bit of a jerk today. He's only 7, but you know what? 7-year-olds can be jerks and they need to be called on it. And he got his karma when he took a ball to the nuts. Now, apparently, what the kids these days are calling that is a peanut shot, which I think is absolutely hilarious. So, yeah, there's your karma, buddy. That's what you get for being a jerk and for making me have to sit out there in the weather. These coaches make the parents stay, you guys. It's 100 plus degrees in Chicagoland area in like 1,000% humidity. I have naturally wavy hair. And I, seriously, this is what you're making me do. So anyway, it's been a rough evening. And let's speak of someone who really could use a peanut shot to her ovary. And that's going to be Leah. Now, our dear, sweet home girl, Leah, down on the farm, decides that she's going to go on a dating app called Bumble. Now, I've heard of it, but you guys, I'm old. I really don't know. Is it like Tinder? Is it the swiping thing? Someone tell me, because that could be just fun just to look into. So of course she finds this guy who is basically Corey with slightly blonder hair and maybe a little less beaver-like, but he's got the same damn hat. I mean, a dead ringer. So she tells us in her little voiceover that she hasn't been dating for since two years ago. That is such BS. Do you remember when she was dating? It was like on the down low and she never showed him on camera, but she was dating a guy that she met in rehab. I'm sorry. It wasn't rehab. It was sleepaway camp for people who are stressed and maybe enjoy smoking methamphetamine. But yeah, it was stress camp. So she was living with a guy who she met at stress camp. And now she's pretending like that whole relationship never existed. Okay, Leah. So she shows up to this date with an extra set of human hair on her head. It is just too much. It is overcurled. And she's wearing the I'll speak with the manager mom's night out outfit. Like, Leah, you got a rockin' little tiny body. You can do better. And what does this girl order to eat on a date? A first date? Fettuccine Alfredo. Now, my metabolism came to a damn halt even just watching that. And my thighs instantly just swelled up and I started retaining water. Like, there's no way I could ever eat that. I can't even watch it on TV without gaining weight. And this bitch is ordering fettuccine Alfredo on a first date. Who does that? It's got a cream sauce. It's not going to agree well with your stomach. It's carb heavy on a hot day outside. And she was slurping that up. And she doesn't know how to eat. Did you see her trying to swirl those noodles on the fork? Come on. You don't know how to eat that, Leah. You feed your kids raw hot dogs and soup directly out of a can. And you're trying to show us that you can swirl it. And she was using it against a fucking knife. Not even a spoon. A knife. Okay, I need to calm down. I think the vodka is setting in. Okay, so she's on this date. It's super awkward, as every first date is. And she goes back to the producer. And she's giggling like she just got back from homecoming. And she tells the producer, oh, you know when you know. And it's a no. And she's all laughing. You know what, Leah? You should be so damn lucky to go out with that guy again. Like, who are you? You are a teen mom with 3 kids, 2 dads, and just trashing yourself with all your horrible life choices on TV. And you're going to, like, diss this guy? I mean, she picks eye boogers and her cuticles on camera for a living. And when she does her voiceovers, she barely sounds like she knows the English language at all. It's like an ESL learner when she's speaking. I can't stand her. And then pretty much every episode as she does, I won't even say just this past one, she villainizes Jeremy for his job. Now, whether you've watched this or not, this is the same really good engineering job that this guy had when she met him. And it's the job that pays her kids' health insurance, pays her child support. And you know what? It does. It really sucks for her daughter, Addie, that she can't see him all the time, but it would have been the same way had Leah and Jeremy stayed married. And why didn't they stay married? Because, Leah, you cheated. So, I don't know. This girl just makes me irrationally upset just even watching her. And by the way, did you see them drinking wine on the front porch when she's supposed to be sober? Okay, Leah. Okay, deep breath. Hold on. I'm going to take a sip real quick. Because we're moving on to Janelle. And Lord Almighty. Okay, now I'm sounding like I go to church and I haven't been 8 years. Okay. Janelle. The ultimate manipulative narcissist. She's always a victim. And this past episode, her initial voiceover starts with, "Jace doesn't need me anymore. I'm not his mom anymore." Are you kidding me, Janelle? Like, you realize your son will watch this one day. And to be honest, it's probably not any worse than what he sees and hears now. But why would you even throw that out there? It's just like this little game that she plays to try to make her mom feel bad. Now, they go to court, her mom, Barbara, who you're going to hear me refer to her as Babs and Meme this whole time. It's just interchangeable. So Babs and Janelle go to court, and apparently they come outside and they have come to an agreement. Now, I am sure that Janelle knew that she would lose if she did not come to an agreement, because if they didn't, it would have been on court record, all of the evidence and everything that came out in court. So I am sure she settled and came to an agreement. The agreement was that Babs is going to get permanent custody of Jace, thank God, and Janelle is going to get every other weekend, 2 weeks in the summer. Now, I'm not a divorced parent. I'm not a single mom. But to me, that does not sound like a lot of time at all to be spending with your son. But Janelle is acting like everything is fine and dandy, that like she's happy with how things came out. Now, during this settlement meeting, this trial, this court, whatever you want to call it, Jace's therapist came and said that it would actually be detrimental to Jace if he were to live with Janelle. And Jace had said that he is terrified of her fiance, David. Now, at no point did anyone bring up, well, they also have two other kids living at home with them that are Janelle's, Kaiser and Ensley. So if it's detrimental to Jace, is anyone worried about the other two? I am. But, you know, Janelle just didn't seem too upset by that. And she starts spinning this weird tale of how actually it's great, and that Barbara was the one who actually got the shaft, and all her friends are sitting there agreeing with her, like, oh, yeah, Janelle, oh, yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure they were, and I would probably do the same. Well, maybe I wouldn't do the same thing if I were there. But you know they're doing it because she is on the verge of just exploding. Janelle continues to say, oh, well, yeah, all that evidence that she gathered, it doesn't matter anymore. It's just like wiped from the record. It doesn't matter anymore. She can't bring it up. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what? If I were there, that is exactly what I would say. I wouldn't be one of the friends. I'd be like, Okay, now here's the vodka talking. Here's my liquid confidence. I would be like, oh, so there was evidence that you are afraid is going to come out again. Like, your temper is starting to crack here, buddy. And then David, dude, says, Barbara is a selfish piece of shit. A selfish piece of shit that is raising your fiance, girlfriend, whatever, son. Like, the son that you are fighting so hard that you think is just such a great kid to get a hold of. So slow your roll, buddy. Now, Janelle comes back with what she thinks is the ultimate diss. Well, she's not invited to the wedding. So that's what's important? The wedding should be unrelated, you freaking psycho. But, you know, they're not concerned at all with what the therapist said. Nothing at all. Oh, no, everything's dandy. Now, later on, Janelle says in a voiceover that she needs to start spending one-on-one time with Jace. How much money do we all want to put on the table that was not her idea? I guarantee you it was the therapist's suggestion in court that Jace needs to spend only time with Janelle because Jace is terrified of David. And David clearly seems to be the one that's taking care of the kids most of the time. So what's Janelle's grand idea? Oh yeah, you know it. A vacation to St. Thomas, because that's just going to solve all her problems. Now, is it just going to be her and Jace alone, that one-on-one time they need? No, no. Janelle's going to dump the two kids that take the most work, Kaiser and Ensley, and David is going to take Marissa. Okay. Not at all what the therapist in the court was saying, but okay, Janelle, that's what you heard. And you know what it is, you guys? Said it last week or 2 weeks ago. Janelle cannot deal with just the monotony of normal everyday life. She's got to have that high, that thing to look forward to, whether it's drugs, engagements, marriages, the new house, having more kids, the land, vacations. Like, she has got to have this big ultimate thing to dream about and look forward to, or else she can't deal with everyday life. Now, meanwhile, we see Meme Babs is telling Jace that he doesn't need to worry anymore, that he's staying put. You know, his life is going to be with her and just seeing Janelle some of the time, and that he doesn't need to worry about it anymore. Good for Babs for easing that. Now, I did kind of feel bad for her, though, because it's clear that Jace had confided in Babs and his own therapist. And just for Barbara's sake, I really wanted Jace to be like, oh my gosh, yay, just to burn Janelle's eyebrow stubs off. Which, can we someday talk about Janelle's eyebrows, like the evolution of an eyebrow? What is that? But anyway, Jace, you could tell he's just kind of nervous being around the cameras, but he looks content and at least happy that he's not going to be uprooted. Did you notice that when Janelle dropped Jace off with Barbara, she didn't even get out of the car? Again, thankfully, I've not had to be in this position, but if that were my kid, I would be just hugging him and kissing him and like chasing after the damn car to say goodbye. Not like just sitting my ass in the driver's seat being like, hey, come here, so I don't have to get out. And gosh, I don't know. And then Janelle says in the car before she dropped him off, oh, do you like David? Well, what is he supposed to say, Janelle? No, I don't, because he knows you're crazy. He's not going to confide it to you. Then she goes, well, your therapist told the court and told Meme that you're afraid of him. Why would you ever say that, you freaking monster? So like, way to mess your kid up even more if you hadn't already done it. It's just absolutely heartbreaking. And you see a pattern with all of these teen moms, that it's just a cycle of these broken homes with absent fathers, except for Chelsea, whose father is almost like too much around. Like, he's just emotionally stunted her from over-parenting, kind of like the Putman freaks. But okay, so that's some dark stuff. So let's move on to some annoying stuff. Well, I promised you annoying, and here it is. The most annoying of all annoying of annoyingest, roll-off family updates. Well, our sepia picture-perfect Audge is having a rough week, you guys. Now, she's always having a rough week according to her Rolodex of selfies that she's been posting, because girl has been posting variations of the same selfie photo shoot for freaking weeks. Go back, check it out, and compare. I would hate to see her iCloud storage of photos right now, because if that were me, if my husband were to go in my phone and I would have hundreds of selfies like that, he would hopefully just commit me. Like, oh my God, what I would give to just see her photo app on her phone. Okay, so I had to actually go back into last week's show notes to even see where her super unique whining left off, because, you know, her life is so unique, one of a kind compared to every other human on the face of this earth. God, I hate her with a passion and it feels so good. So since her posting about her 6 hours over 7 days sleep deprivation, like she's a Navy SEAL out of recent training, She posted that she needs prayers, you guys, because she has mastitis. Bullshit. And I will explain why in a second. But first, you guys, you're not going to believe this. I actually wished mastitis on her weeks ago. Like, I called it. It worked. I willed it from the universe, and it freaking worked. Like, it's, I'm kind of scaring myself. Now, if I can just channel this newfound power for good, maybe a little evil. Oh my God. Oh my God. I swear I did not even intend that. I just said little evil, not like little people. Like, I didn't mean it like that. They're not even part of this. I like the little people in this family, just not her. Okay. But anyway, if I were to channel this for good and maybe a little evil, I would wish for a fast metabolism for everyone. Real Housewives of Orange County, or actually any of the Real Housewives, like any of their vacations with that cool wine dispenser thing that they had. What was it? That wasn't Scary Island. It was like St. Thomas or something. And like world peace and like better politics and shit like that. Duh. And a Pinterest wardrobe for all. Okay, I'm wishing it. I'm sending it out to the universe for us all. Okay, so back to her so-called mastitis. I call bullshit on this because yesterday she posted for their anniversary that there were wrapped presents with like tree bark and 100% recycled paper and stuff. If you have mastitis, you're not wrapping any kind of gifts. Been there, done that. It's not going to happen. And she also had her hair braided into two even French braids. Now, no woman with even engorged boobs, dare I say mastitis, would that happen? Which, did I even say what mastitis is? Quick, just in case if you don't know, mastitis is clogged milk duds. Oh my God, I wish, I love milk duds. Clogged milk ducts. Holy tongue twister, try it. It's not just me. In your breast, like when you're breastfeeding, and it is horribly painful, becomes infected. It's just horrible. So I call liar, liar, red hair on fire. She does not have mastitis. She's probably like a little sore, like the rest of all women who have ever given birth ever on this planet. But not only that, again, since she's unique, she thinks she's getting a little sick. She might have the sniffles. Jeremy spilled the beans on one of his Instagram lives that her mom came to help, of course. And you guys, I have no problem with any new mom's mother coming to help, but just because it's odd, like, I find every problem with it. So her mom came to help. Meanwhile, Jeremy has been doing DIY renovating around the house. He's gone grocery shopping. He set the table with refrigerator letters for their anniversary, which I thought was kind of stupid. Like, if I walked downstairs and that was my anniversary gift for my husband. And I've gone anniversaries where I get nothing, but something about the creepy letters spelled out on the table, I'd be like, is this the moment when you're just going to like kill me? Or like, is this going to be the crime scene? It was weird. But anyway, it's clear that Audrey hates motherhood. She's got to hate that baby just stealing her thunder. Now, she says she can't show us any photos yet, and I'm sure it's because they have some sort of exclusive deal with People or In Touch or maybe even TLC when the show comes back on the air. But why didn't Zach and Tori get that? I think their baby is just as interesting, and he's freaking cute if you check out their Instagrams. So what's the deal with this super special non-little person baby? Ugh, I hate that. But I'm sure when we see her, you know, it's going to be... Oh, I can't even go there with them. I'm sorry. I know I keep exhaling. I can't help it. But I'm sure Audrey's thinking, you know, it was going to be totally different than it is. She was thinking it was going to be all cloth diapers and tall grass headbands that she's fashioned from picking from the yard and little baby wearing co-parenting. What do you call that? When you like sleep with the baby and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, motherhood, that shit is freaking hard. And I'm sure she was not ready for that. It's always more hard, Audge. Get used to it. Oh my God. How much would you love to be a fly on that wall during their weekly Navigators Council meeting? I'm sure it's all about how Audge's needs aren't getting met and she just needs more, always more sleep, always more attention, always more ice packs on her boobs, always more. Oh my God, I want to see those books. If anyone happens to be a thief who listens to this reality TV podcast and breaks into Audge and Jer's house, if you take anything, I will give you all my life savings, which is a bunch of cheap Target jewelry, if you grab those Navigator Council journals to get my hands on. Okay. Anyway, can't wait to see Baby Ember's first photo shoot. And since I will miss Didis on her, I'm going to put my prediction out there. There's going to be some muslin. There's going to be flowers. There's going to be some sort of head adornment, like wreath. There's going to be some sort of typewriter, either that freaking typewriter itself or a typewritten God scripture thing next to the baby or the baby's name, and maybe some rubies or daisies. Now, if these predictions come true, I'm going to need to buy a lotto ticket and I will share it with you all. Okay, so transitioning now in Audge and Jer fashion, I've saved myself. I've kept myself pure. But last night, I lost my Shaws of Sunset virginity. After the jump, I'm going to dive in just like pita chips to hummus. I love LA. Okay, Shaws of Sunset. Is that really how the theme song starts? I love LA. I thought maybe I heard it wrong, so I went back and listened. Pretty sure it does. It's like, this is like Bravo is a major network, and that's the song that they're choosing. You guys, oh my God, like, how is this show still on the air? Well, I guess I should stop myself there, because quickly into this one episode that I saw of this current season, holy cow. Now, I'm going to try my best to binge as much as possible. My husband's out of town. I got the kids on my own for like the next 2 weeks, no breaks. So I got to try to find time to binge, because there's a lot I need to learn. In the meantime, please tweet me, send me a message. You all know how to find me. How do these people all know each other? And like, are they wealthy? Am I supposed to know them because they know other certain people in the industry? I was going to try to Google it, but I thought it might be more fun to just find out as I watch as the season goes on, or you guys tell me, because your commentary is way more funny than any Google search. So anyway, okay. The best way to do this, I think, is just to go by, I want to say character, but these people, unfortunately, are real. So I'm going to start with the biggest train wreck of them all. I'm assuming you guys think the same thing. MJ. Okay, and I'm guessing her name is like Mercedes or Mercedes or something. Okay. She's not all real, right? Like, does she play this up a certain amount? Because my swear to God, my first gut instinct and seeing her in the scene, she's wearing like these little terry cloth short shorts. And I was like, oh, this girl thinks she's Jessica Simpson with a Homer Simpson waistline. Like, she's delusional. And they're showing her, apparently she's in a new condo, right? And it looks like there's squatters there. Like, is this an episode of Hoarders where they're still just, like, they've done the cleanup, but there's still enough random stuff in there. And, like, the water's not connected, but, oh, it passes code and you can have your 13 cats still live with you, because there's just a lot of stuff everywhere for grown adults to be living there. There's a lot of glass. There were glass table legs, glass tabletops, vases, windows, which you think at some point like she might catch her reflection. But no, she's got her ever supportive fiance Tommy there, who thinks she's beautiful, and he says some weird Silence of the Lambs line, and I was like, okay, it only took me about those 3.4 seconds to know that Tommy is going to make things messy. And also, I think he is auditioning for Real Housewives of New Jersey, because either that or he's like in a, like he is an aspiring, or no, not aspiring, he's in it, like a man boy band. Can you see it? Like they have outfits and he's like the Jersey boy. No, wait, hold on. Just like my Lair Bear from 90 Day Fiancé, I've rewind. He's the guy who would pretend to be manager of a boy band, but really he's just like siphoning money and pulling shady stuff, kind of like Lou Pearlman did to NSYNC, or like PK from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yeah, look into that, because I think there's some shady stuff going on with PK. So if that's not bad enough, whatever's going on in that relationship, which I'm crossing my fingers that unfolds in the next several episodes, let me know. But MJ's mom, Vita, lives in the same complex. Now, she visits Tommy and MJ, and Tommy loses his shit like a drunk Joe Judice. And like MJ wants to have kids with this guy. That baby, can you imagine that baby coming out? Like, it would have the worst, what do you mean, be colic? That kid's going to scream more than Jeff Lewis's baby does. So Vita is just, like, heartbroken, and she's mad because this Tommy character has just been so disrespectful to her. And she storms off, and she says, under her breath, his mother is a whore. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I need the whole backstory from you guys before I judge on that. But I agreed with her. But if she's going to be an overbearing mother-in-law in that current situation myself, I don't want to give her a total pass just yet. So fast forward in the episode, MJ and Reza, who, oh yeah, we're going to talk about that guy in a little bit, they decide to go get waxed because every Bravo show needs to have a waxing scene. Now, Reza's nether regions, okay, he has a hairy ass, and they are up in there. And the waxing lady even says she's going to put bleach on his winker. Like, I felt like I was back in fifth grade in my Catholic school sex ed class. Like, I was so uncomfortable. And then when she's waxing MJ, she says, did you guys catch this? Again, I'm like several weeks behind everyone else. She says in this like weirdly serious tone, I'm gonna tuck it deep and I'm gonna tuck it hard. Like, it triggered me deep and hard, and I got scared. Like, she has that same intensity as Jesse from 90 Days In. Like, that European Dutch intensity. Remember when I said Jesse from 90 Day Fiance. Sorry, 60 Days In, when that comes back on A&E, you guys. Oh my God, we're going to get into that deep and hard. But Jesse from 90 Day Fiance, his tight suit, European demeanor triggered me. This waxing lady's intensity triggered me. Okay, and Reza's down there, like, looking, like, at her hole. Okay, I have kids, and I have been that close to a hole, and I still don't even look at it, and I managed to, like, keep them clean and raise them. So what kind of friendships do these people have? Is this normal, or was this alarming to you, regular watchers? Okay, Reza. Let's talk about Reza. I get why people think he's, like, weird and lovable. Totally get it. Because he looks like that friendly cop who tries too hard, because his manicuring is severe. Like, his grooming, he has very severe grooming. Like, the eyebrows, the mustache is just very severe. And is he cross-eyed? Is that like a known thing? Okay. So he meets up with Asa at a rooftop restaurant, and they ordered two of everything off the happy hour menu. And I about died. Like, I about fell out of the chair because, number one, I was appalled. And then it turned to jealousy because I was like, oh my God. Like, ordering two of everything off the happy hour menu? That's Oprah level living my best life. And then it quickly fell because the food came and it was all freaking fruit. What the frick, you guys? Like, I was, if I'm ordering two everything off the happy hour menu, again, maybe this is my Midwest girl speaking. I want some mozzarella sticks, some fried mushrooms with ranch on the side. I want some bruschetta. I want some good stuff, not freaking slices of fruit. Get out of here with that. So Asa reveals she's like 100 months pregnant and somehow no one realized it. No, I'm calling that fake. That seems a little manufactured to me that they were getting together that often and Reza never noticed. No. And later we go to one of probably the best scenes of this entire episode, maybe even series, but I haven't seen it yet. And you're going to get to know me on a deeper level here in a second. Reza and his, I think it's his husband, Adam, again, correct me if I'm wrong, they are playing tennis together and they're talking about using this Asa storyline to segue into them talking about having a baby. And then the best thing ever happened. And Adam squealed and sprained his ankle. Now, getting to know me, getting to know all about me, anyone who knows me knows I love and I live for when people fall down. I know, again, you guys, we've talked about karma several times. It all comes around, okay? I live for this. When people ask me, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for birthday? What do you want for... I just want someone to accidentally fall down. I am the person. Even if I love you, if you fall down, I will laugh and point at you, and then I'll offer to help you up. I'm always going to offer to help you up, but I'm going to laugh and point at you first. One of my best friends in high school slipped on a patch of black ice and fell down and like tore something in her leg, and I pointed and laughed and then helped her up. But I'm sorry. Like, it's just funny to see people fall, especially when they get up and then they like turn around and look. They're like, oh God, was that like an uneven spot in the sidewalk? I freaking live for these moments. So when he sprained his ankle and did a little skip hop, like, oh, I'm hurt. I'm not exaggerating. Okay, I exaggerate a lot in my life, but I'm not exaggerating. I watched it four times over and over, gut laughing, by myself with my Aldi trail mix and my cocktail. Amazing. So Adam then goes on to rest and he's supposed to be elevating his foot, but he's like laying on his belly, like, okay, like a baby sleeps in the crib. Like, okay, they roll over another belly and he's got his foot just like elevated in the back. Oh my God. It was amazing. And Reza's standing there, nipples erect, boob sweat a sweating. Hey, I've been there. I'm a busty girl myself. That boob sweat sucks and it's on camera. Sucks. But come on, you know the right colors to wear at that point. It's clearly not his first, you know, game out there that he's been sweating under there. And he's walking like he's got one of those 1980s scoliosis back brace out there. They're just a mess. Like, it's not even like the things they do are interesting. It's just them being who they are that's interesting to me. So I don't know. There's just like a lot of chit chat with them throughout the whole episode about a baby. And it doesn't seem too sincere to me. It seems a little manufactured, but it seems like, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Reza's on the show just because he's Reza and he's an interesting guy to watch. Now we have Asa. I need to know, someone has to tweet me or send me a message. I don't know if I'm going to be able to easily find this answer. Why are Asa and MJ enemies or frenemies? I couldn't gather the backstory from that. Didn't really learn too much about Asa. So please share if you have information. But I get that obviously she's pregnant with Jermaine Jackson's baby. No one noticed it that she was pregnant until the party when she announced it. And they're like, oh, she wears caftans and eats a lot. Well, God, that sounds like my like fantasy life. If I could pull off being that pregnant and people are just like, oh yeah, that's her. Oh my God, like get me a caftan and a Dorinda Medley spread of cucumber sandwiches and you know, cake, and I will love life. I'll be Asa. I'll take it. So Asa seemed like she had a really good head on her shoulders, and I was like, you know what? This chick has got her shit together. Like, why does she even need this show? And then the OBGYN visit. And we see the Megan King Edmonds meets Audge Roloff pregnancy of doom. Dun, dun, dun. And we learn that she's anti-vax. She's all about the vegan food. And I'm thinking, bitch, you're getting radiation ultrasound on your belly right now. And you're saying you want to buy one for your own home. Like, that right there does way more damage to any baby than all this other crap that you're worried about. Like, read a book, man. Read a freaking book. Stop listening to the Jackson family. It hasn't worked out so well for them for the past, what, 30 years. So I have to know before I continue on these episodes if this pregnancy continues in the roll-off fashion, because if it does, I'm just going to have to fast forward through those segments, or just, God help one of my kids if they walk in the room, because I'll just pick them up and throw them at the screen. I cannot take another pregnancy like this. But the only thing I did wonder was when Asa showed up to the party at Mike's house, and she showed up with like a full-on chafing dish. And the whole episode, okay, real Midwest chubby girl that I am, I kept thinking about what was in that chafing dish. What'd she bring? Was it kebabs? Was it like a rice couscous dish? Because later I swear she's holding a plate of mashed potatoes. But that doesn't really go with her like whole vegan thing, because mashed potatoes need butter and milk and all that good stuff. So anyway, later in the episode, she announces her pregnancy, and that's when MJ's wheels fall off. And her nipples fall out, and like Elastigirl boobs, her nipples are all ajar. And again, I'm a busty girl, but you know what? At this point in my life, and I think she's a little older than I am, you know the drill. You tuck and roll, girl. Tuck and roll. Tuck those boobs. Roll them in there. You know what to do at this point. And MJ is fighting through tears and her hair trying to cover up her nipples pointing north, south, east, west, that she's just so happy for her. And although I know she's crazy, listen, we have all been there where we've said to that friend or that family member, oh my gosh, we're so happy. But really you're jealous, whether it's an engagement or a pregnancy or whatever it is. And it was so obvious and uncomfortable to watch. So MJ like suddenly and violently leaves and goes down to the bar to shove watermelon down her gullet. And again, the food choices with these people, fruit and alcohol, no. Like that's like too many sugars and alkalines and alcohol altogether. It's not going to be pretty later. But as I'm watching her and I'm like, what is going on? I can't tell if I'm looking at her like stomach in the side slot of her outfit or her boob. Like, I don't know if things have shifted and I'm looking at something I don't really want to be looking at. And then at some point she and her boobs leave and she has one of these drunk talks with Reza that honestly I miss. And like those drunk conversations with girls, you find, I know there's been memes about it and it's so true. Those drunk bathroom girls, you know it. Come on, ladies. Those are the best women you meet when you're drunk in a bathroom and you meet someone, you're like, oh my God, like it's just the best. I do miss those conversations. Those are those like college moments or young 20s moments when you have like no cares in the world. I swear to God, I seriously just, you could probably even hear it, turned over to swirl my vodka tonic with my straw, like looking longingly like what has happened to my life. But anyway, miss that, know it, done that. And MJ waddles off. And I can feel that stinging thigh chafing in that onesie jumper outfit she's wearing. And it is not a breathable material. And I can just imagine, like, when she peels that thing off, those seam marks are just going to be permanently indented in her inner thigh. Like, it's got to be digging. It's got to be stinging. And, I mean, is this, like, has she ever looked better before this? Like, is this her fall from grace or is this just her? Okay, you gotta let me know. All right, so a few people that were in the episode but I didn't really get introduced to was Golnessa Gigi. Now, she's with someone I do recognize, which is Tara from Newlyweds. And she's divorced, by the way, from her like creepy controlling husband, which I hope that show comes back on the air. And Gigi says that she's disconnected from the group. So I'm like, is that like disconnected Scientology style? How intense is this group? But apparently she went to rehab and they show scenes of her pouncing on people like a insane lioness cat. And apparently she had a riff with Adam. Is that Rez's Adam? Her Adam? I don't know. But she says that she's all reinvented or renewed, like Ramona Singer from Real Housewives, by going to a yoga retreat, and they're screaming and yelling things. And I thought it was like one of those ayahuasca retreats. Have you heard of that? Ayahuasca. There's been some MTV True Life specials and documentaries on that. Look that up. Ayahuasca. That is interesting. Let's do an episode one day on that. But yeah, why is she on the outs with everyone? I got to find that out. So I also learned a little bit about Mike. I know the party was at his house, which needs a major redecoration, which was the first thing I thought when I saw it. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, Reza redecorate. And I was like, holy shit, it looks horrible. The thing that he was hanging over that couch, I moved recently. And I swear, when I was selling all my crap on those like Facebook local garage sale sites, I saw that same stupid hanging thing above the couch that people were trying to get rid of, like tens and twenties of these things people are trying to get rid of. But no, apparently it's supposed to be good looking out in LA. Yeah, no. And Mike apparently also got a divorce recently and talks to his mom 3 times a day. And I was like, well, that's why you're single. Because it takes a special kind of man or woman to be married or in a serious relationship with someone who is that tight with their mother, male or female. Now, Mike, to me, has like this constant stink face on, like he just smelled something really bad, or like an evil Aladdin who has like too much testosterone or too strong of a jaw. And then I saw that stupid douchey Kabbalah bracelet on him. Like, are they religious? Is that just an LA thing? Ay, ay, ay. And then I kept hearing this name. Is it Sherwin or Shervin? I know I kept hearing his name and I saw his face, but they didn't tell me anything else. So, oh, you know who else I saw was Destiny from The People's Couch. Did you guys watch that show? That was an amazing show. I have to do some better research. I will keep watching. If I have to, I'll refer to you guys or Google. Yeah, I'm going to keep watching though. So anyway, let's move on to a new little segment that I've put together. This is a new segment to the show, a little something I call Easy Eats. Each week, I'll set out to find a wallet-friendly snack and beverage to share my findings with you. As a girl who was raised on Aldi and all things generic, bagged, boxed, and in bulk, I know a good bargain and a tasty alternative to those costly name brands when I find one. So this week, I'm spotlighting my current favorite wine. It's delicious, by Matua, M-A-T-U-A. It has a really pretty bright turquoise label. You can't miss it. Turquoise, if you're Countess Luann. And you can find it anywhere between like $7 and $12. I've never seen it over $12. And they make a really good Sauvignon Blanc if you're a fan of white wines. And their newer wine I've seen is a Pinot Noir Rosé, which I can be kind of picky about rosés. And it's really good. It doesn't leave that weird aftertaste. I've seen it at Mariano's, which is a Kroger company, Sam's Club, Jewel Osco, which I know it's a Chicagoland brand. I'm pretty sure Jewel is an Albertsons brand. So check it out. Look for it. I love it. Tell me what you think. Now, you already know I love me some Aldi Trail Mix. It's seriously so good, you guys. It's less than $5. All different varieties, sweet and salty. They have like an Asian mix one, mountain mix with like M&Ms and stuff like that. Check it out. So good. But this week I'm going to share my like little hidden gem, and I hope it, you know, all three of us, we are going to cause a shortage. It's Clancy's Delightful popcorn. It's in a green bag. It's 39 calories, just like Skinny Pop. And it's got to be the same manufacturer because it's Skinny Pop. It's not like just a weird air-popped, low-calorie popcorn. It's Skinny Pop in a generic bag. I got it for $1.29, and Skinny Pop usually is anywhere between $4 and $5. So go and get some Clancy's Delightful. You will not regret it, and you can drink it with your calorie-free vodka tonics like me, and you're basically eating air like Gisele Bündchen. So anyway, you know, I'm doing this for you guys in the name of research. So share your findings with me. It's going to be fun. I'm excited to kind of search out some little snacks and drinks all week. So that is the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it, had some laughs with me, had fun looking for some new podcasts out there. If you search under the hashtag Lady Pod Squad, there's so many good podcast that you would never normally find if you were just searching in iTunes. Right now, I'm loving the Sip and Shine podcast. It's really fun. They like have cocktails. It's like a relaxed banter, but you're learning things about like history, a little bit of true crime. It's awesome. Check it out. Search in iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast, Sip and Shine. And there's another awesome one called My So-Called Whatever. And I like fangirled out. They talk about New Kids on the Block, and it's just like listening to your two best friends that you've never met. And it's so much fun. My So-Called Whatever and the Sip and Shine podcast. So please reach out to me. Let me know what you want me to watch, what you want me to buy. Answer some of my questions. I know I had a lot for you with Shaw's. Find me on all my social media links. If you find me on Twitter, I'm at RealityVPod. Instagram and Facebook, Welcome to RealityV. Or you can just find all the links on WelcomeToRealityV.com. Please subscribe, rate, share with a friend. Next time I'll have our love of our lives, 90 Day Fiance, and more. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Bye.
To get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.